As has been reported this morning, the coronavirus outbreak is widening worldwide, with a new spike in new cases in Iran, South Korea and Italy. Here at home, the Victorian Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Brett Sutton, says that a coronavirus pandemic is very likely, if not quite inevitable. And this comes just days after a study in the New England Journal of Medicine confirmed that the virus causing the COVID-19 respiratory illness may be present at quite high levels before symptoms actually emerge. Norman Swan joins us now. Dr. Norman Swan, hello there.
Hi, Fran.
So what have these researchers exactly found out about how COVID-19 or coronavirus behaves, Norman?
A bit of background here is that we're seeing day by day new research papers coming out. So this is a research letter that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was from a group of Chinese and Hong Kong researchers. And what they'd done, they had a group of about 14, actually ended up being 17 people, who they'd monitored from their infectious stage through, and they were taking nose and throat swabs of them to see how much virus they had, not whether they had virus, but how much virus, their viral load over a period of time. And what they found was, unsurprisingly, is that when they were infectious, there was a high viral load, and it actually got a bit higher as the infection went on and lasted on average about 5 days they were shedding virus, but sometimes up to 10 days after the infection they were still shedding virus. But within this group of people, there were some who actually got infected while they were studying them, and they could actually do nose and throat swabs on this one person, particularly a person who was asymptomatic, and actually developed the infection with SARS-CoV-2, which is the name for the virus now. And they found that this person, over the period of infection, was shedding as much virus as the people who were symptomatic. So in other words, it confirms what we already suspected, which is, or knew anyway, that asymptomatic people can pass on the infection. But if this is generalizable to a larger group of people, then there's quite a lot of virus being shed, even if you don't have symptoms. And this makes it a nightmare to control, because you can really only test people that you suspect are at risk or have had contact. And quarantine is the only means of control of this virus at this stage, because there's no vaccine and no drugs, or no proven drugs. And it just makes it incredibly difficult. And this is why Brett Sutton said earlier on in the show that it's pretty much inevitable if it's not already a pandemic. It probably is already a pandemic, to be honest. They're just
well, let's
careful.
Look at that, because there's a lot of terms being thrown around, pandemic, tipping point, that kind of thing. But we spoke to a virologist from Lancaster University earlier who said, look, can't use the term pandemic at the moment because it's not reported on every continent. But do you think there's any doubt that it is on every continent?
Well, it's interesting. There are lots of parts of different continents where the reporting mechanism is not good, where they don't have availability of the test, and you just don't know whether it's there. I mean, look at Iran. There must be several hundred, if not more than several hundred cases in Iran for them to have had the number of deaths that they've reported. I hesitate to say this because I don't want people to get panicked, but in the latest reported data from New South Wales, there was a spike in people turning up at emergency departments in New South Wales with fever and respiratory symptoms through January. And so is this people who, and it was probably more mid-January on. So was this people who were anxious about having symptoms or turning up, worried that they were a coronavirus? Or was this people turning up with just respiratory symptoms and they just had a cold? What's going on? It's unlikely that it was coronavirus, because we would have seen the first native infections of coronavirus by now, you'd have thought. But, just imagine that you're in a country in sub-Saharan Africa, you wouldn't have a clue. And that's why they don't know. And I think it will turn out that there probably are cases in most continents, if not all.
Okay. And on the health report this afternoon, you're going to take a look at important findings on the use of certain antibiotics in pregnancy. What are we talking about?
These are antibiotics called macrolides. They're drugs called erythromycin, clarithromycin, azithromycin. They're used for chlamydia. They're used for H. pylori, the ulcer bug. And they're also used when you're allergic to penicillin. And the study of 100,000 kids who during pregnancy, mothers were given either penicillin or these drugs. And it showed that with these macrolides, there was an increased risk of major malformations in either the heart in the first trimester or the genitals at any time in pregnancy. The good news was there was no increased risk of ADHD or autism spectrum disorder, which they suspected might be the case. But it means that pregnant women really need to stay away from these particular antibiotics.
Mm. If you're pregnant or you're planning to be pregnant or you know someone who's pregnant, you better tune in to Norman on the Health Report this afternoon for more on that. Norman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Norman Swan, host of the Health Report here on RN at 5:30 this afternoon, or of course anytime on the Listen app.